If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You get the Super Bowl vibe yet?
I'm not as stoked as I was last week going into the Titans game, because we still have a week to go. I'm trying to save it. I'm trying to hold it back a little bit. By the way, I've got my tickets to the Motley Crue concert this summer. The Kauffman Stadium with Def Leppard and Joan Jett and, I'm going to forget somebody. There's somebody else. I think there's four people all together. Man, it's building. So last week, by the way, this is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show today. In this first hour, we're going to hear from some of the Kansas City Chiefs and what they had to say this week getting ready for the Super Bowl. At 10 o'clock, we're going to switch away to ESPN's College Game Day, get you ready for KU in Tennessee, which you can hear live this afternoon, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll jump back on the air. We'll just magically reappear. And we'll be joined by Danny Lahan, who is a columnist for the Des Moines Register. Now, why are we having a columnist from the Des Moines Register on a show in Kansas City? Well, he knows a lot about the Iowa Hawkeyes. There's some Iowa Hawkeyes playing in the Super Bowl. Ben Neiman for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the guy you may have heard of from the 49ers named George Kittle. Also, we're going to talk with Danny about the legalization of sports gambling in the state of Iowa, how it's gone the first few months, what they expect for the Super Bowl coming up. We had Danny on the show when we were up at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, so it's kind of a good luck thing. I'm going to try to do some good luck things. Maybe you don't believe in it. Maybe you don't believe in karma. I don't know. I know next week I'm going to try to align our guests kind of similar to what we had last week going into the Titans game, just to kind of keep those good vibes going. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to try to get Blaine Howard back on the show, country music singer who's written a new song for the Kansas City Chiefs about the Super Bowl. He was born in Fort Scott, Kansas, grew up in Arkansas, lives in Nashville. He's building his country music career, so I'm going to try to get him back on. We've texted a couple times this week. We'll see how his schedule shakes out. So in this first hour, let's go ahead and do this. Normally, we don't get a lot of phone calls on the weekend. That's just the way it is. People are out driving to their, you know, kids' games, basketball, or, you know, indoor soccer, or whatever it is, high school games. But if you're out and about and you want to call in and weigh on the Chiefs Super Bowl, tell me your gut feeling right now. It's 913-3810-810. That's 913-3810-810. Because I'll tell you where I am right now before we get to the Chiefs sound. Last Saturday, I was totally jacked. Josh, you can attest to this. I was so stoked going into that game. And I was so confident the Chiefs were going to win. Now, let me be honest. I'll back up and be honest. Going into the Texans game the week before, I wasn't sure. Deshaun Watson, that's formidable. Formidable, pardon me. The wide receiver group they have in Houston, that's a formidable group. That's a challenging group. The Texans defense, challenging group. Not saying the Titans weren't that. I'm just saying going into the Texans game, I was a little nervous. Okay? Being down 24-0, I was justified in my nervousness. But going into the Titans game last week, I was so confident this team was going to win, the Chiefs. So confident. Because you're right there. You were there last year. Patrick Mahomes was in his first year as a starter. I get it. Not everything worked out. In fact, it didn't work out. But I was so confident. This group being back together again, plus all the contributions from the rookie players and the new players to this team, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, on and on, Mecole Hardman, just on and on and on. I was so confident last week. Now, we still have a week to go to the Super Bowl. So I haven't wound myself up yet. I would put my status as reasonably confident. I think the 49ers are a damn good team. Not breaking any new ground there. Not telling you anything you don't know. That's plain to see. Eyeball test, statistically, however you want to look at it. 49ers are a darn good football team. But as it stands right now, with a week to go, 8 days to go, I'm reasonably confident in the Chiefs. I'm not nervous at all about this game. I'm excited. Oh, sure. I'm very excited. But I don't have any hesitations like I did going into that Texans game. I don't have any nervousness like I had going into that Texans game. I just don't. That's gone. I've seen enough of this team. I've seen what they've done the last 2 weeks. Coming back from 24-0 down. Coming back from down 17-7 against the Titans. I've seen enough to where my confidence level is reasonably high. Joshua, how would you? I know you're an Eagles fan, but growing up in Kansas City, how would you gauge your status right now going into the Super Bowl against the 49ers?
I'm right there with you. I don't think it's hit yet that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, really, for me. Mm-hmm. I think Monday when they have that media night where everyone's doing a scrum and they have those nice track suits with the little LIV logo.
Right.
You know, that's when it'll feel real, I think, for me. And then, you know, Texans game, a little nervous. When the Titans scored last week first,
yeah,
I was like, all right, I'm going to wait until the Chiefs actually touch the field before I say anything because, you know, they're an unstoppable force, even if they go down 10-0.
Yeah, or 24-0.
Or 24-0.
Actually, if it would have been 24-0 against the Titans, I would have been very worried. But I'm not. I feel good about this game. I feel good going in. I feel very good. I was going through a list of, you know, you go through all your stories before the show and find some interesting things. And I'm going to get to NFL.com. Greg Rosenthal did a list of the ranking all of the quarterbacks in Super Bowl history. There's 63 of them. He's got Patrick Mahomes in the top 30. And that's before ever playing in a Super Bowl. So I will go down that list as we roll along here. But like I said, just watching the Chiefs the last 2 weeks, I don't see any reason why you should be worried or have a doubt about this football team. I just don't. The only thing that gave me a little bit of pause this week is that Travis Kelce was sick. Missed a couple of days of practice. There's still 8 days to go. And this team will be ready. And I had to laugh at myself. Not laugh at myself. Laugh to myself. There's a lot of talk this week about preparing for the weather in Miami. It's going to be hot and humid. Could be. Got to make sure you're getting all your liquids in, which is a good thing. How will they handle it? How will everybody handle the heat and humidity? Do you remember when this conversation happened last time and what the result was? We had national people. Was it, I'm going to take a stab in the dark. I think it was Bill Polian had come out and said when the Chiefs went to Jacksonville early in the season, well, I don't know how the Chiefs are going to react to the heat and humidity in Jacksonville. I don't know how they'll handle it. Not realizing that summer in Kansas City, it's 95 degrees with 75% humidity every day. The Chiefs did just fine.
I was going to say, do they not know Kansas City weather?
I guess not.
70 degrees tomorrow.
I guess not.
What do you mean? They can play in any environment.
Was Jalen Ramsey a problem in that game? I guess I'd have to go back and look at the individual matchups. But we know he likes to talk trash. That's fine. I like guys who talk a little trash. Be confident. The year before he tried to shut down Tyreek Hill, he went to the Pro Bowl game as a special teamer, not a wide receiver. Chiefs did just fine in Jacksonville. The Miami Heat, humidity, it's going to be I think it's going to be a non-issue. I don't think that's going to matter. It's the same. Guess what? It's the same for both teams. It ain't exactly balmy in San Francisco right now. Or outside of San Francisco where they actually play. So this is a non-issue for me. It just is. Okay, so I was looking at some stories before we last night and this morning, and I referenced this a few minutes ago, so I'll just get to it. Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com. All-time Super Bowl quarterback rankings, Patrick Mahomes cracks the top 30. Take a guess at who's number one. You can reasonably guess who's number one.
Broadway Joe. Not Broadway Joe,
no.
But the other Joe.
Nope.
Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You win six, you get number one. You get the number one spot. You win, what, nine times? You win six, you get the number one spot. No surprise there. Number two, Johnny Unitas. Only had the one with the Colts. That's okay. Joe Montana, number three. You can make a case for Joe Montana being one or two. I'd listen to all that. That's fine. I've seen both Brady and Montana. I make a case for either one, I'm fine. But if you have six versus four, you're getting the number one spot. Joe Montana's two. And Patrick Mahomes' name is coming up on this list, by the way. These are the 63 quarterbacks who have played in the Super Bowl. So Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana. Number four, Peyton Manning. 1-1 with the Colts. 1-1 with the Broncos. I'm good with that. I mean, he wasn't great with the Broncos. I don't know how much you ding him for that, but that's okay.
Brother Eli going to be in some commercials. They're the go in commercials.
Yep. Eli's not in the top five or six, and he won two. Beat the Patriots. So Peyton Manning, number four. Number five, Dan Marino, who didn't win. His Dolphins lost, and he never got back again. Still cringe at the fact the Chiefs could have had him. Man. Oh, well. Number six, Brett Favre. 1-1 in the Super Bowl with the Packers. Okay, I can live with that. Number seven, Steve Young. Won his only Super Bowl with the 49ers. Number eight, Aaron Rodgers. Again, his only Super Bowl. John Elway went to five Super Bowls. 2-3 in his career. He's number nine, though? Man, you get to five Super Bowls? I know the last two were at the end of his career, and he retired after the last one, but that seems a little low for me. Roger Staubach with the Cowboys at number 10. 2-2 all-time in Super Bowls. Drew Brees, 1-0. Number 11, Bart Starr, 2-0 with the Packers, including Super Bowl I against the Kansas City Chiefs. At number 13, Fran Tarkington, who lost three times with the Vikings. Oh, that stinks.
It's crazy. You hear all these, you know, legends' names, and then you just think of Patrick Mahomes on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And it is truly incredible what that guy can do with his arm talent just alone.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. We're going to find Mahomes somewhere on this list. Said he's in the top 30. So Fran Tarkington, 0-3 with the Vikings, ranks number 13. Again, this is just one person's opinion. It's Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com. 14, Ben Roethlisberger, 2-1 with the Steelers, three Super Bowls. That seems a little low for a guy that's been to three, but that's okay. Troy Aikman, number 15, 3-0 with the Cowboys. The collection of talent he had around him was just off the charts at that time. And by the way, since he's thrown shade at Patrick Mahomes this year, and Joshua Briscoe from Sports Radio 810 WHB, I'm going to ding Troy a little bit. He's a little too high at 15. Sorry, Troy. Terry Bradshaw at 16, 4-0 in the Super Bowl. But you can make an argument that he was far from the best player on that team. That's fine. Okay, he won four times. That's a lot. Joe Namath, 1-0. He ranks at 17. Bob Greasy at 18, 2-1 in the Super Bowl with the Dolphins. Lenny the Cool, Lenny Dawson at number 19. 1-1. Lost Super Bowl I against the Packers. Won Super Bowl IV against the Vikings, beating Fran Tarkington in their group. And the Chiefs were a massive underdog in that game. It seems a little low for Lenny to be at 19. But I'm biased, okay? I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm biased. 19 seems low. How many players from that Super Bowl team are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? A lot. Including Johnny Robinson, who just got in last year. Way long overdue. Jim Kelly ranks number 20, 0-4 with the Bills. I saw an interview with him a couple of weeks ago. They did a special, gosh, I want to say it was on ESPN. They did a special on those Bills teams that went 0-4 in the Super Bowl. They went to four straight Super Bowls. I don't think we're going to see that again. I just don't. And Jim Kelly said for a long time he felt bad. Like, not really guilty, but just that they should have done it. And he's come around to, you know what? We were pretty darn good. We went to four in a row. We should be proud of that. So Jim Kelly at number 20. These are Super Bowl quarterback rankings. 21, Kurt Warner, 1-1 with the Rams, 0-1 with the Cardinals. Okay. Kenny Anderson, 0-1 with the Bengals. Seems a little high for Kenny Anderson. I saw him play. 22, Ken Stabler, 1-0 with the Raiders. 24, Donovan McNabb, 0-1 with the Eagles. 25, Russell Wilson, 1-1 with the Seahawks. 26, Boomer Esiason, 0-1 with the Bengals. 27, Daryl LaMonica, 0-1 with the Raiders. 28, Matt Ryan, 0-1 with the Falcons. Saw him talking about, they've done, you know, so many Super Bowl specials and pieces over the last couple of weeks, and Matt Ryan talking about blowing that lead. Oh, my goodness. 29, Earl Morrill, 0-1 with the Colts. And at number 30, Patrick Mahomes.
Rick Mahomes. That's my theory.
You going with Rick?
I think he's Patrick off the field.
Okay.
And, you know, he's a super nice guy, super nice Patrick, or maybe just Pat. When he goes on the football field, he turns into Rick Mahomes, and it's just...
Really?
That's my theory.
How'd you arrive at that?
Just because Rick sounds tougher, okay. I guess. But
maybe he's Rick rolling the other teams?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Hey, I'm rolling out. I'm going nowhere. There's nobody open. I'm just standing here. Maybe I'm going to run. Maybe I'm going to throw it all the way across the other side of the field. Maybe I'm going to throw it left-handed. Maybe I'm not even going to look at the receiver when I throw it to him. He's Rick rolling the other teams. I like that.
He's Rick.
I'm leaning into this.
Okay.
I'm leaning into this.
And you hear guys on that list that don't even have one. I think it's the toughest trophy in sports. I mean, what do you think about that? Out of everything, I mean, maybe World Cup, but you could exclude that because that's every 4 years.
Yeah.
You're thinking of season sports. I think the Super Bowl is the hardest, you know, team trophy to get in all of sports. It's a definite grind with all the injuries that,
mm-hmm.
you know, are bound to happen. So it's no small feat to make it to this game.
And I guess it hits a little closer to home here in Kansas City because of all the teams we've had over the years that we thought should have gone to the Super Bowl and did not. 95, 97, maybe 2003. Maybe those teams in the early 70s could have won another one. You're right. It's hard. Patrick Mahomes on this list at number 30 ranks ahead, one spot ahead of Eli Manning. 2-0 with the Giants in the Super Bowl. Retired this week.
See, I'd put like Eli where Matt Ryan is. I don't really understand the Matt Ryan.
Right. And I don't know how they've judged this, if it's, you know, how you perform in the Super Bowl or just these are the best quarterbacks. Eli Manning made some huge throws in Super Bowls. The sideline pass to Mario Manningham. Of course, the Tyree catch on top of the helmet. And how, you know what? If you don't want to give Eli credit for that because it was a, you know, one in a million chance to make that catch, that's fine. Steve McNair, number 32, 0-1 with the Titans. Rich Gannon, 33, 0-1 with the Raiders. And I will tell you... from covering the teams in 95 and 97, especially 97, when Marty went back to Elvis Gerbach for the playoffs instead of sticking with Rich Gannon. I'm not saying 100% of the players will tell you the Chiefs' fortunes would have been different. I'm telling you it's exactly 100%. Not a knock on Elvis Gerbach. He's a fine person. He was an average quarterback. Rich Gannon is not a world beater, was not a world beater as a quarterback. But he's what you call a player. when the you know what's going down, who would you want at quarterback? Rich Gannon, Elvis Gerbach? We've had this discussion for 20 years. My goodness. If Rich Gannon starts for the Chiefs in 97 in the playoffs, I believe, and almost every player on that Chiefs roster will tell you, I think every player will tell you, they would have gone to the Super Bowl with Rich Gannon. I'm just telling you. So that's the list. I could go on and on, but this list is 63 quarterbacks long, and maybe we'll hit it a little bit later in the show. Coming up in the next segment, let's hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. And let me give you this real quick from our friend Tim Grunhard, who's been traveling this week. I think his daughter has had a swim meet somewhere in Illinois. I'm not sure. Swim Dad 61. He's spending the next 7 days tweeting out seven keys for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. And of course, right when I go to my Twitter account, it locked it. Okay, here we go. So Tim Grunhard, this is his post today. This is about an hour ago. At SwimDad61, he's going to give you seven keys over the next 7 days. Today's key from Tim Grunhard: red zone. I start with the red zone because I think KC will move the ball versus the 49ers. Zone D limits the offense's ability to expand the field in the red zone. Chiefs need to be creative in the zone busters and score six. 100% agree. Against a team with a defense like the San Francisco 49ers, 3 points ain't getting it done. It just ain't. That's where you get into, you know, right now the line is still Chiefs minus 1.5. If you're consistently kicking field goals against the 49ers instead of getting touchdowns, that's where the 1.5 is going to come into play. Still haven't made my pick on that yet. I guarantee I'm taking the Chiefs minus 1.5. That's what I'm going to do. And I've not seen that line move since last week. I think it opened, like the second it opened, it evened, and then immediately went to 1 and then to 1.5. So I'm going to be taking the Chiefs. So there's Tim Grunhard's key. Follow him at SwimDad61. He's going to have a key every day for you leading up to the Super Bowl. All right, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Team has one more walkthrough workout today. I don't know if they go full speed today, but at least one more walkthrough today. And then tomorrow, they're on a plane headed to South Beach in Miami. By the way, if you're going to the Super Bowl, let me know about it. I want to hear what your plans are. Plus, I want to know how much it costs. I can't afford to go. I can't. I wish I could. I really wish I could. I went to all those Royals playoff and World Series games. Now that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, I can't afford to go. It's just, and a lot of people cannot. A lot of us cannot afford to go. That's fine. It's the way it is. We'll be with family and friends, or I'll be here at the studio with Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly, and we'll be watching it and taking notes and getting ready for a massive postgame show. Quick timeout. Patrick Mahomes is coming up next. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kick it! No, man, I'm just telling you, Travis Kelce was not born when Licensed to Ill, the album, came out by the Beastie Boys. Yet he walked up on that stage after the AFC Championship game and belted out, "You gotta fight for your right to party." And it was glorious, spectacular. And I'll just leave this up a little bit. When we get to the chorus here, I'll drop out, and then Joshua, you blast it up a little bit. But I'm so happy because Joshua Byers knows this. He's running the show today. My name is Brad Porter. Whenever I host a show, we have to have at least one Beastie Boys song. That's the rule. It's just the rule. God, this is so good. Because the Beastie Boys, they're rap, they're rock and roll. They do some blues. They do some funk. They've done everything in their career. I love it. Thank you, Travis Kelce, man. It was awesome. Just awesome. By the way, a public thank you to a very popular person on Twitter, Conrad McGorkin. Follow him, at Conrad McGorkin. I tweeted out a request to him this morning is he mixed in some Chiefs players in some Beastie Boys photos. And I've never asked Conrad McGorkin to Photoshop me into anything, but I did today because I play a Beastie Boys song every time I do a show. So I tweeted at him, Conrad, can you mix me in as MCA from the Beastie Boys? If you would, I know you're busy. You got stuff. You got more important things to do, okay? Then worry about me. But Conrad McGorkin took the time, Photoshopped me in as MCA from the Beastie Boys. And if you want to see it,
it's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't it awesome? I mean, I look ridiculous just because I look ridiculous, but it's awesome. So if you want to see it, you can follow me at Brad K. Porter. That's at Brad K. Porter. You see me mixed in as MCA from the Beastie Boys. I can't tell what era that photo is. It's got to be after. I think it's after Licensed Ill. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure about that. I'll have to look at it again. But it's fun. It's good stuff. So thank you, Conrad McGorkin. And give him a follow, too. He does a lot of good Photoshops and all kinds of good stuff. So at Conrad McGorkin. And then you can see the picture there. You can see it on my Twitter account, at Brad K. Porter. All right. Chiefs and 49ers. You know, today, Joshua, for the first time I looked up the kickoff time next Sunday, I hadn't looked it up yet. Because I've been waiting. This week has been like the slowest week. With the two-week break between the championship games and the Super Bowl, it's been slow. Not slow in terms of information. I mean, the Chiefs have had press conferences every day this week, right? But it's just been like, okay, it doesn't mean anything until we get to next week. Next week is when the avalanche starts rolling. Next week is when everything gets going downhill. Next week is when everybody's revving up. Next week is when you're a fighter jet on the deck of an aircraft carrier revving your engines, getting ready to take off. That's next week. We still got a couple of days. Give it Saturday. We're still, you know, taking care of stuff. We're shoveling snow and driving around town, hanging out with family and friends, going out to lunch, going out to dinner. Sunday, same thing. Go to, if you are inclined to go to church, if that's what you're inclined to do. But Monday, man, it is on. The teams get to Miami on Sunday, and then Monday, it is on. So this week's been a little bit, it's like kind of like a NASCAR. When they go to the big tracks like Daytona and Talladega, they have restrictor plates to keep your speed under control. This past week has been like having a restrictor plate on the enthusiasm, just waiting. So today's the first time I actually looked up the kickoff time. I didn't know. And honestly, I didn't really care. I know it's going to be next Sunday. I know it's going to be at night. I know there's going to be a big halftime show, but I didn't really pay attention to the kickoff time. It's 5:30. That's what it's listed as. It ain't going to kick off at 5:30. It's going to be like, what, 5:42? Something like that. By the way, do we have an over-under on Demi Lovato singing the national anthem for a prop bet?
I don't know what the time is. But
every year there's a prop bet on how long the national anthem's going to last.
Did last year go? I think last year went under?
I don't remember.
Was it Aretha Franklin?
No. No.
Oh, well. Jennifer Lopez, Shakira, halftime show?
Totally down for that.
I'm geared up for it.
I'm totally down. I don't generally... The halftime show is okay most of the time. I mean, the Rolling Stones did it. That was kind of cool. The best one ever, which is never going to be topped, is Prince. That is never going to be topped. Go to YouTube, find Prince Super Bowl halftime show. For a long time, it was like blocked out, like you couldn't see it, but it kind of comes back all the time. You're never going to get rid of it. Prince is the all-time best. I mean, just the all-time, but you're not going to beat it. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, 100% down with Charlie Brown on that one. That's a no going to the kitchen to get snacks or another drink. No going to the bathroom. That is locked in, 100%. Either one. It'll be awesome. Hips don't lie, right?
They don't. It's a
nope.
fact.
That's a fact.
I don't think either of them. I know Shakira's hips definitely don't lie.
Correct.
But I'm pretty sure Jennifer Lopez's don't either.
Nope.
So it's a win-win situation right there.
My only issue is the person she's currently dating, but that's okay.
Gerard Piquet?
Isn't it Alex Rodriguez?
Oh, Shakira is dating PK, the
okay.
soccer player.
The player from Barcelona, from Spain. Okay. All right, so we got a phone. We might take a phone call here, and we're getting ready to get to Patrick Mahomes and his comments this week about getting ready for the Super Bowl. Year two as a starter, under the age of 25, coming off an MVP season. I cannot imagine what that feels like. Come into this league, you get drafted by a great organization, the Kansas City Chiefs, a great offensive mind in Andy Reid, a team that traded up to get you. Normally, quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes get drafted by terrible teams because teams that are up high in the draft usually need a quarterback. And it's probably, well, it's not probably, it's a blessing. He fell to 10 and the Chiefs were there to move up and sacrificed what they had to sacrifice in terms of picks to get him. And he ended up with the right organization, the right coach, the right team, the right time with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and he drafted Mecole Hardman. It just everything they've got. It's right place, right time, right mix. Perfect. All right, before we go to Patrick Mahomes, we'll take a phone call real quick. Let's go to Krista on line one. Krista, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up, Krista?
Hey, I'm just driving around running some errands. I love your show, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, I have a quick question. It's not been brought up, or at least I haven't heard it brought up on air at all anywhere.
Okay.
And my question is, do you think possibly that Andy Reid has put Sean McCoy on the shelf because he doesn't want to show anything about any plays that he might have for him in the postseason? And I'll listen to your call off the air. Thank you.
Hey, Krista, thank you very much. And be careful out there. There's still some slick spots on the road. I hit a couple of slick spots this morning, but thankfully I was not speeding, so it was fine. Boy, that's an interesting question because last week when LeSean McCoy was inactive, I went back to kind of having a chuckle a little bit because Andy Reid had said for weeks we're trying to manage his carries, manage his time, kind of like the NBA, roster management, save him for the playoffs. And he was inactive last week, which I was not surprised by because I think Andy Reid is comfortable with the collection of running backs that he currently has. But I honestly hadn't thought about whether or not LeSean McCoy would be active for the Super Bowl. Interesting. I don't think Andy Reid's trying to hide anything about LeSean McCoy. Andy Reid's got nothing to hide. He's got a playbook that's a billion pages thick. But LeSean McCoy in the Super Bowl, I'm going to have to think about that. Because if there's any issues with ball security, that cannot happen against a team like the 49ers. It just can't. A defense like the 49ers will feast on somebody prone to letting loose of the rock. And even after the fumbles LeSean McCoy had this year, he was still, you know, carrying it way out, as we say in the business, like a loaf of bread, just like waving it around like a band leader, like a marching band leader, which I don't understand, but you're not going to change him at this point in his career. I think at this point with your two playoff wins, you ride with the roster that got you here. Unless there's an issue, unless somebody's dinged up, unless somebody is sick, unless there's somebody who, for some reason, cannot go, I think you ride with the guys that got you here. Would I be surprised if LeSean McCoy was active for the Super Bowl? No, not at all. He's an Andy Reid guy. He played a good part of the early season for the Chiefs until the fumble issues came out. Do I expect LeSean McCoy to be active for the Super Bowl? No. If you just go based on what's happened the last couple of weeks, no. But I won't be surprised. I doubt there's any. And Krista, I thank you for asking that question because I hadn't really thought about it honestly. I don't think there's some kind of secret game plan for LeSean McCoy. If I'm wrong, fine. Andy Reid's a lot smarter football coach than 99% of the football coaches out there. He's certainly smarter than me about running a team. No one would ever say a talk radio host or a TV person is smarter than a football coach in the National Football League. Nobody. That's just a ridiculous notion. I'm just telling you, if that's the case, if Andy Reid's got some kind of game plan to put LeSean McCoy in, fine. Roll it out. Let's see it. I've seen enough from Andy Reid over the last 7-8 years to I believe in whatever he wants to do. Let's do it. Let's roll. Hey, Krista, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. Hope you're having a good day today, and hopefully you'll be back with us tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon. And then next week, we're going to rock so much Chiefs coverage next week. I was looking at the schedule earlier today, so I'll be on next Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon, and we'll be on with different shows throughout the day. And Saturday night, Sunday morning, I know, you know, Seren's got his show. Josh Briscoe and I are going to have a special pregame show Sunday, like, or I think at 1:30, right around there. And, of course, the game at 5:30, which you can hear live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Kevin Harlan on the call. The best. Love me. By the way, isn't it awesome? If you grew up in Kansas City like I did, you started listening to the Chiefs with Kevin Harlan. And then we had the great fortune when Kevin went to national television and national radio that Mitch Holtis came in from K-State. We've had two of the best play-by-play broadcasters in the history of the National Football League doing Chiefs football. So it'll be fitting that Kevin Harlan will be doing the national broadcast on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and Mitch Holtis will be doing his first Super Bowl on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network. It's just awesome. And then after the game, Joshua Briscoe and I will be up until dawn. We are going to go until the Border Patrol at 6 a.m. Monday morning. That's just a fact. And I'll be ready. It doesn't matter how much coffee it takes. I think I'll be on pure adrenaline at that point. That's all right. All right, I'm running a little bit late here. Do we have time to get Patrick Mahomes in here before? Okay. Do we have time? Think so? Okay. Joshua says we have time to get it in. So here is Patrick Mahomes from Wednesday. And Joshua, you told me how it starts out. He's talking about his family, you know, working in tickets and travel. And this is every player, every coach, every front office person, everybody that works for an organization that goes to the Super Bowl has to deal with requests for tickets, hotels. How do we handle this? So here's Patrick Mahomes begin. And this is about 9 minutes here. This is Patrick Mahomes starting out talking about family and friends and dealing with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is in these first few days trying to get everything settled as far as getting family and friends at the game and everything like that, and getting them the tickets squared away, hotel rooms and stuff like that. And so that now going into the week, I can really focus in on the game plan and doing everything. And obviously I've already watched film Monday, Tuesday and stuff like that, but getting my family squared away first, and then now I can really just focus in on doing what it takes in order to win it.
How much are you leaning on Coach Reed and players like Teresa because they've actually been there, what preparation is like, and any whole experience?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really talking to those guys, seeing what the week's like first off. I mean, obviously we have a schedule of how we're doing everything, but seeing what extra free time I think I can pick up in order to either study more or get guys together to get some more work in. But just using those guys and their experiences to really have an understanding of what we're going into and what to expect.
How much time did you allow yourself to celebrate the win on Sunday? And it's a bigger win than the regular kind of the.
Yeah, I mean, I think just that night, I mean, just kind of with the family and friends and some of the teammates, just kind of just enjoying it. But then going in on Monday, we got right back onto the 49ers. And the good thing about this is we know who we're playing, so you can kind of use this extra week and really focus in on one team so that you can prepare yourself in the best way possible.
Patrick, what do you see at first glance? Maybe you got a chance to watch the NFC Championship game on the replay or film coming in. What are your first impressions of the 49ers in that defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously they have a ton of playmakers on the defensive line, linebackers, and secondary, where they have guys that have had experience and they have young guys that are super talented. And so you can see that the young guys have really grown as the years went on, as they've learned from other guys around. And, I mean, they're very sound in what they do and the coverages that they play. And so for us, it's about just having to execute at a high level and knowing it's going to be a great challenge on every single play.
I shot a couple of TV commercials with Aaron Rodgers, right? So. Mm-hmm. Have you already, or will you call him and say, hey, you know, what do you think? What do you see when you were out there? Can you steal some ideas after he just played him?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. I might need to, but no, it's I do have a relationship where I can talk to him and text him and do stuff like that. But I'll probably just focus in on what we do here and what Coach Reed game plans, because I know he's done a good job of game planning all year long.
Patrick, what was extra time? How do you make sure you don't go with like over?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's you can spend too much time watching film, but I think you can spend too much time trying to dissect every single thing. I think there's times where, where you're playing a team that like them, that they play their certain coverages and they play them really well, that you just have to go out there and execute. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The plays are going to be there. You're going to have chances in the game to have opportunities, but they're not going to be a ton. So when you do get those opportunities, just make sure you execute at a high level.
Any other championships you played, and even like in your youth level, that you could kind of fall back on, even if it's like even a T-ball championship or anything of that nature that you could fall back on?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've played in championship games growing up, but this is definitely a bigger one, probably the biggest one that's around. And so for me, it's just about, like we said, talking to Coach Reed, talking to Suggs, all these guys that have been in these games, getting a feel for having to run out of the tunnel and then wait around a little bit before you get going, and kind of building and kind of containing your emotions and being able to get there and really just play football when it comes down to it.
With you and the team, it seems he's able to inspire, but also calm you. I wonder how that works.
Yeah, I think it's just he's the same person every single day. Same person if we're winning or if we're losing. He's going to have that same fire, but at the same time, still being able to teach in the moment and really get the best out of every single person. I think that's a huge thing. And you've seen it these last few weeks when we're down, and you've seen it when we've been up in games. We still have that same mentality of taking it one play at a time and trying to be great for that play.
Other parts of that, I mean, his own connection with you directly. I was sort of joking with him the other day about you guys are completing each other's sentences, and he said you actually are. Have you caught on to that experience, or do you remember that happening a few times?
Yeah, it's happened before. Matt Moore has a great story about it, one of his first weeks here. But it's just being on the same page in the game, knowing what he's going to call before he's going to call it. Having the same feel for the game, and then making sure we're communicating. That stuff that Coach Reed does a great job with, as well as Coach Bieniemy and Coach Kafka.
Does he still do impressions of you?
Yeah, every once in a while he'll throw it out there still. So he keeps the room alive, I guess you would say, and making sure that you know that he can still throw a joke here and there, even during a week like this. Yeah, I think it's something that I've always done, is whenever I'm scrambling, keep my eyes downfield. I've never been the fastest guy, so I've always wanted to get to guys like Tyreek and McCole and Travis and all these other guys and Sammy. And so for me, actually on that play, I left the pocket a little too early just because they did kind of a stunt with the D-line, and I thought I could run for it. And as I saw it developing, I knew I kind of had to reset in the pocket. And as I did that, I got back through my reads, and Sammy was a guy I was going to go to anyways, and he did a good job of fighting through a holding penalty and getting downfield. And so I was able to get the ball to him in enough time that he can score a touchdown.
You've been here for a few years now. So you haven't been around this like 50 years like the city's been for this to happen. How do you guys guard against winning on Sunday not being the destination? You know, did you have one more game and not let that part creep in, because there's such a celebration right here, because it's been so long?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we celebrated that night, but I think the mentality of these guys in this locker room is that we want to get the big one. We want to not fall short. We want to make sure that we're going to Super Bowl and that we can win it, and not regret not preparing or doing whatever it takes to do that. And I think with the guys in this locker room, we're going to take advantage of every single day. It's a long build for these next week and a half or whatever it is, but we're going to build every single day of just taking advantage of it and hopefully getting there and playing our best football and trying to find a way to win the football game.
When do you think it's going to hit you that you're actually there? Will it be when you know, get off the plane Sunday or open at night at Mollins Park that we are here in the Super Bowl? You know, get a chance to actually enjoy it before, obviously, you have to switch your mind to get back to work.
Yeah, I think when I get on the plane and it's snowing and then get off and I'm sweating, I'll know I'm there.
But following up on that, living the last 3 months you all have played in cold weather, maybe outside of the field, what's going to be like now? You know, kickoff should be about 70 degrees when you all play for the championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Coach Reed's been talking about it since the playoffs started, staying in warm weather shape, and I think he says something about it after the game. And so guys have been getting extra running in, getting extra stuff in to make sure they're ready to be in this opportunity and be in this spot. And so obviously we know going from snow and to 70, 80 degrees is going to be different, but we're going to make sure that we prepare ourselves physically and mentally to go out there and be able to play a full four quarters or whatever it takes.
Patrick, against the Broncos, you were mic'd up and asked, did I look like Lamar there on that juke? And then against the Titans on Sunday, you run that 27-yard touchdown, break some tackles. How much have you tried to emulate his game, just the respect that you have and that you've talked about between players like Lamar and Deshaun?
Yeah, I mean, I watch everybody in the league and try to see stuff that guys are doing. I think you do that as a quarterback when you're watching a lot of these great players. And so, for me, I try not to. I know I can't juke like Lamar or do stuff like that, but I feel like I can't extend plays. And when I watch similar opponents, like I watch with Lamar playing the 49ers and seeing how he could extend plays, then I know that that's some stuff that I could take away. But I obviously can't run at the same agility or speed that he can.
We talk a lot about, Andy getting a Super Bowl, but Travis, you've been at this for 7 years. Just what's the sense that you get of just how bad he wants this, given the success of his brother and just going through Alex and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, Travis, he's played a lot of great football in his career. And, I mean, I know he's super excited to play in the Super Bowl and get a chance to play for it. Obviously, he watched his brother do it and saw how much excitement and stuff that was. And so I know it's going to be an exciting moment, but I think the biggest thing for all of us is just being who we are. And that's stuff that we preach every single day is just we take advantage of every single rep. We let our personality show, and we try to find a way to win the game in any way possible.
What was the Matt Moore story?
He just—it was one of the stories. You got to ask him. It's about how I completed Coach Reed's sentences one of the first weeks here, and he knew that that's when we were all kind of on the same wavelength.
From your perspective, just what kind of emotional lift was it to have Chris in uniform and then to see him play better?
Yeah, I mean, the way he's able to disrupt what the offense is trying to do, either it's sacks or just getting in the backfield and setting up for someone else to make a play. I mean, he's a special football player. And so for us to have him back, him knowing that he's battling through injury and he was still going out there and giving his best effort every single play, this bye week will let him get fully healthy, and then we'll be able to have him for a huge game and be able to have all our weapons.
All right, that's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes talking about Super Bowl 54 in Miami against the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, big team from Sports Radio 810 WHB heading to South Beach, mixing and matching throughout the week. Stephen St. John, Jason Anderson, Saren Petro, Ali Trost, and Todd Lebo going to have it on lockdown all week, taking you up to the Super Bowl. Quick timeout because I am late. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, just a couple of minutes left in this hour. We're going to briefly, well, for 1 hour, we're going to hand it off to ESPN College Game Day, Kansas and Tennessee in Lawrence. So that'll be from 10 to 11, and then Joshua Byers and I will parachute back in at 11 o'clock and take you up to noon. We'll be talking more Chiefs football. By the way, did you see the pictures and videos posted last night of the NHL All-Star Game in St. Louis? The goalkeeper for the St. Louis Blues was introduced, because the All-Star Game is in St. Louis. The goalkeeper for the Blues walked out on the ice with a Patrick Mahomes jersey on. Another one of the players skated out onto the ice with a Chiefs helmet on. And so I tweeted out,
hey, Ryan O'Reilly.
There you go. I tweeted out, St. Louis, now part of Chiefs Kingdom. They don't have the Rams anymore. I got some pushback. Some folks, we don't need them. You know what? Everybody on this train, right?
Get on.
I don't care.
Hop on.
I don't care. St. Louis, part of Chiefs Kingdom. That's all right. And hockey fans in Kansas City, Mavericks Kingdom, you can be part of Blues Kingdom, too. You can have a minor league team and an NHL team.
Ryan O'Reilly is one heck of a hockey player.
Yes, he is.
He's a nail gun.
Yep. All right, timeout here, and then coming up next, ESPN's College Game Day, getting you ready for KU in Tennessee, and then Joshua and I will be back at 11 o'clock with more Sports Saturday. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Josh Byers is running the show. Back with more after this.